Republicans apply for that job. But
getting right grants. I mean, the administration. I mean, Citizens Committee is set up kind of different from us. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I do half my job's administration, and the other half of my time, you know, is dealing with client, you know, people things.
Mm-hmm.
Their executive director is really just an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and rarely gets involved with homeless people.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a fundraising, you know, paperwork position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dan would hate it.
Now, is Homeless Outreach still operating under Leo Buhacker? This was a group that...
I hear a rumor about it once in a while.
It was associated with the Citizens Committee, and then there was some, shall we say, controversy last summer because of Citizens Committee not wanting Leo to use their name in fundraising.
It would be fair to Citizens Committee. I didn't want them to use our name either. It's pissing people off big time.
Mm-hmm. Anybody sleeping in the field surreptitiously, even though the fences are up?
Not that I've heard of. I mean, I have to say, I don't come down after dark with the flashlight to peek and peer at every corner, but as far as I know, no.
And is there any chance, do you think, that the Citizens Committee will not raise the money and that it will allow another group to open that field and use it for emergency shelter?
I have not the vaguest idea of their detailed finances, to tell you the truth.
Or their willingness to allow somebody else to use it, huh?
I don't know.
Well, look, I want to thank you, Karen Gillette, and anything else you want to add before I hustle on to the next person?
No, we're just nervous and depressed today. It's the weirdest feeling in the world. I mean, you know what's the strangest? Like, people who've been around for a while get cynical, and they know this kind of stuff happens,
mm-hmm.
and they don't bother asking us what they should do because they know we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the new people come in with this completely innocent, like, okay, where do I go now? Like, completely not comprehending that the answer is we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they ask us, like, in all sincerity, like, well, what are we supposed to do? And, like, to have to tell that person, like, nobody knows, and kind of, you know, you don't want to say no one cares, but no one cares enough to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the weirdest thing to have to say to somebody who's, like, taking in all good faith that you know, that this process of working their way out of homelessness
mm-hmm.
is supposed to keep working.
Well, I think you have a significant voice in this community, and I encourage you to continue to raise it, and even possibly to the extent of a formal proposal, because I think that that puts pressure on the city council. There are supposedly 3 votes. They need 1 more for a change in the sleeping ban, if we are to believe the interminable Scott Kennedy, who continues to tell us all that he will vote against the sleeping ban if there is a 4th vote, or that he has always opposed the sleeping ban. And I think
something else we also need, though, Robert, mm-hmm. is another player. Like, we need
mm-hmm.
shelter providers that are really going to go after, you know, new money and new solutions,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a big way. Because I think that's what it's going to take. I mean,
mm-hmm.
What we've seen from the last 6 months is the city isn't going to do that. The county isn't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Citizens Committee for the Homeless doesn't seem to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
We sort of prefer not to because we don't know how to go 24 hours a day.
But we have a crisis, and we need to do
something
immediately. And I encourage you, because of your currency with the city council, you're well-respected. You aren't regarded as part of the radical fringe. And your access to the media, I think the media also respects you. If you make a public statement requesting them to do something like San Francisco does, that is to say, officially declare sleeping is okay, let's say in non-residential areas, but that camping is not, that would, I think, go a long way toward putting pressure on the city council, and particularly Mayor Mike Rodkin or Jane Yokoyama, to make becoming that 4th vote.
In your presentation to my board of directors, you asked the agency. I can't make a public statement like that without the agency's permission, so I would certainly suggest that be one of the things you ask me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll certainly do that. I guess that's on Wednesday at 6:30 in Department 2 that you're meeting over there at the county building.
Yeah, and I would love to talk to you about that for about 2 seconds, but not for Free Radio Santa Cruz.
All right, let me end the tape, and we'll get onto a brief conversation about that, and thanks again, Karen Gillette.
And that indeed was Karen Gillette of the Homeless Community Resource Center about 2 hours ago. And the meeting she spoke of, which is the Homeless Community Resource Center's Board of Directors meeting, which meets once a month, will be the first such board meeting I've gone to. In the past, it's been kind of difficult to get in there. She wants a couple weeks' notice, and apparently it's not clear how open a meeting it is. I mean, it's open in the sense that she certainly has opened it to me when I requested that I be allowed to attend, but it took rather a long time. I would like to think it would be open to any homeless person who wants to come and see how the Homeless Community Resource Center works, and I hope that Karen makes sure that the next meeting and the meetings after are, in fact, publicly announced and open to people, admittedly, so that people know where to go and so forth. And if you want to attend this meeting at the Homeless Community Resource Center, it is happening in Department 2 of the County Courthouse, which is at 801 Ocean, I believe. No, 701 Ocean, which is the main court building in Department 2, which is normally, I believe, that's Judge Attuck's court normally, Judge Artichoke Heart Attuck, as I call him. one of our local municipal court judges. And it's 6:30 on Wednesday, March 20th. I'll be making a 10-minute presentation around emergency shelter. If you want to come to that meeting, come on down. It's, again, County Courthouse, Department 2, 6:30 on Wednesday. Waiting patiently in the studio are two hardline sleep criminals, and I guess an accessory to sleep crime over there. Actually, one sleep criminal, Sean Alame. Hi, Sean.
Good morning. Good morning, Santa Cruz.
Yes, yes. And of course...
Good morning?
Yes, it is.
Well, I can't tell the difference.
There's a, and also, you've got a colleague with you, the vicious Zach. Okay. Zach, why don't you belly up to the mic here, and so you can all kind of... maybe we can do a little singing together, maybe a little round of Maybe Habe, our new hit song down on the mall, referring to Lieutenant Habe's depredations at the sleep vigil.
I don't believe picking on anybody, but this song is great.
It is a great song. I wonder if I have a copy of it with me.
You're not going to get involved.
I don't know about that.
Political thing again, are you?
Oh, well, Sean, you're not political. We know that.
Yeah, right? I'm not political. I just say, hey, sleep.
Right.
Yeah, just sleep. I'm just doing some sleep.
Well, it's interesting. Songs, I think, are really a great way to combat and ridicule this nonsense of the sleeping ban and police abuse. But why don't you tell us, you actually were sleeping last night, Sean, in a secret sleeping spot away from City Hall to get some real rest, and suddenly two of your colleagues were arrested and two were ticketed this morning, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We take shifts on who might be arrested and who is not going to be arrested. Reason being is we want to make sure everybody gets an equal share. However, Robert Flory, man, he's taking the lead and getting arrested. I guess I gotta. You know, I don't like people challenge. Yeah, I gotta get up.
Sean's gonna try to get arrested tonight. I hear it's gonna be an arrest record marathon here between Sean and Robert Flory.
Yeah, it's funny. We're competitors now. It's like food not bombs feed the people, you know. I got to beat this guy in his own game, you know.
I think Flory has been arrested at least three times in the last round, maybe four times, three or four times in the last round of arrests. Robert, if you're listening to the radio, call in to correct our stats. Robert has been arrested literally dozens of times for violating the camping ban. And most of it, again, has been a protest against these unjust laws. He's not been, you know, he's been doing so publicly in order to draw attention to the situation.
Yeah, he's a Gandhi freak, yeah, so I guess he
Robert
doesn't...
Riverwoman were a Gandhi freak in that way.
yeah, he doesn't believe in violence or anything like that. I was yelling at somebody the other night because they were making everybody wrong and stuff like that. I get tired of people making people wrong just because they're in position of power or they're making the cops wrong. They're just doing their job. They could, you know, everybody can... It's easier to make everybody wrong rather than just trying to do your thing and just keep going with it, you know? Yeah, the cops are arresting me because, for the time being, it's their job to obey and restrict these laws. They have to make sure they enforce them.
Well,
okay?
I appreciate your solicitude for the police. I have less. Although I've heard you get angry at the police as well on occasion. Yeah.
Because when they start making it personal, that's the time which I get really upset. And hey, it's not personal. I believe in something. They believe in something, or they're ordered to do something, and I believe in a certain way. I don't think they should try to make it personal, because once they make it personal, that's how things get nasty.
You know, it's interesting. Dan Hopkins, who's your co-supporter, the two of you are two of certainly the mainstays of the vigil. And I would call Zach a mainstay too. I mean, here's a guy who whips his fancy car around at the all hours of the morning, bringing coffee, helping people go get gas for Food Not Bombs trucks, help making fancy flyers. I mean, you are really... say hello, Zach. I mean,
how's it going, everybody? Good morning.
Yeah, are you one of these? Why are you involved with this group of scoundrels? I guess it was Feed the People is how you got involved, right?
Yes, Feed the People. We're basically, I was working. They came in one day. I met them. They're like brothers to me now. It's amazing. The work that we do, work that we can do, can help so many, and the resources that we can pull, they're amazing.
Let's interrupt this for a brief phone call.
Yeah,
hello, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to comment on something one of your guests was saying about not personalizing the issue with the police. I personally think that the situation has been too impersonal for too long, and that's a problem. When these people can just act like machines and just say, I'm just doing my job, nothing personal, I'm going to take your freedom away and take all your belongings away and throw them in a trash can. Along with you. It's nothing personal. I'm just doing my job.
Right.
Well, this type of thing has gone on for far too long. We talk a lot about fascism. We talk a lot about Nazis. Well, there were also these people that worked with the Nazis. Their job was just to put people on a train. Wasn't their job to ask where the train was going? Wasn't their job to think about it? They were just doing their jobs, not thinking about what their jobs were. It was a very impersonal thing, where those trains went.
Well, I tend to agree with you on that matter. However, it's not quite getting to that drastic level yet. But
I think it has. This is people are dying here.
Yeah. Well,
I think it has, but it's just the way we're going about it is different.
It is true, for instance, that in San Francisco, more than 120 people died last year as a function of hypothermia.
Uh-huh.
And that's because there's inadequate shelter, and also people are prevented from finding ways of warming themselves with tents and such. Parks should obviously be open for emergency shelter at night, because human beings need that kind of shelter. But instead, under Jordan's Matrix program, and still under Brown, even though he's declared he's decriminalized sleeping, there are people being arrested and cited at a higher rate than this time last year under the Matrix anti-sleep, anti-lodging laws.
Hey,
so you're right.
Well, and if the situation has not gotten that drastic yet, what are we to do? Sit by and wait? So far, we're going about it the same way the people did in pre-World War II Germany.
Yeah.
They sat back and they didn't do anything until it was too late to do anything.
Well, here's the problem. Most of the times when city council or one of the council members or Mike Rothkin approaches us, they say, hey, people complain, they called down here and stuff like that. Now, supposedly they keep track of the calls which are negative. I haven't heard them saying anything, hey, you know, you guys got a couple of calls for you. And I know for a fact some of our supporters have called. There was a older gentleman, I would say he was probably in his 60s, early 70s. You could tell he was retired. And he walked up to me and said, well, I believe in your cause. What can I do? I said, the best thing you can do is call the city hall, call Mike Rothkin, and let him know that you support us. And this is, after all, this is supposed to be a free country. It's supposed to be about sharing. And let him know that and put out the word as far as, hey, you... there's a lot of support for doing this, because they think, according to them, nobody supports us. We're a whole bunch of vigilantes, and we're just out there just to like piss off different people. We got to stop letting money control people's lives. That's something we print. This is something we give it value. And right now, everything is based on those bases. So whoever's got money has got respect. And personally, I think that's whole bunch of hogwash, is that what it is?
I call it hogwash.
Well,
yeah, hogwash.
I think the buzz words that they use to describe us are only to solidify their position. They use that to not do anything. They say, well, these people's attitude is wrong. These people are approaching the situation the wrong way, so we're not going to do anything about it. You know, bottom line is that they're not doing a damn thing. I don't care if my approach is wrong. The problem's the same. You know, don't analyze the way that we approach the situation. We're doing what we can. Everybody's doing what we can. The problem is there. You know, they need to do something about the problem. You know, that's all I see our politicians doing here. Mike Rothkin will get out of there, and he'll mentally masturbate the entire public and tell them what they want to hear. Oh, well, it's not just our problem. It's everywhere. Everybody has this problem, and Santa Cruz can't solve it all. Santa Cruz has made it a crime. Santa Cruz has to answer for that. Santa Cruz has to do something about it.
Zach, what do you have to say about this?
We totally agree. The only thing is, we're not fighting the police. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to fight the laws. That's what we're about.
And they're all part of it.
They are part of the law. They're part of the enforcement of the law.
Exactly. If somebody doesn't enforce the laws, then they don't exist.
But if you change the laws, then you change the enforcers.
Oh, we need to change the laws, and we need to change the enforcers. We've been trying to change the laws.
Believe it or not, how we can go about changing them is we got to get 20% of supposedly people who voted last time,
uh-huh.
And I'm going to check on those statistics, how many there are, and I'm going to try to see if I can start a signature drive to put it on the ballot. Right now, we do have 3 votes, which there would support. Lifting the ban of sleeping and camping.
Well, they didn't need a vote to enact the ban in the first place. People didn't bring this ban into being. Politicians decided this.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago and not done by this group. However, this group is realizing it. And listen, the best thing we can do is just basic, to my opinion,
you know,
this is just my personal opinion, is we got to, instead of talking about it, people should come down there, support us, because I've been there last 17 days straight, 18 days now. Is it, what's the date today? I don't even know anymore.
This is the 18th.
This is the 18th day. You know, myself, Dan Hopkins, and we started this thing, and I'm committed to it. I've changed my address to 809 Center Street, Santa Cruz, you know, care of City Hall. I'm committed to this thing. It's just we need more supporters out there. We need more people out there when they come arrest us. See, if there is a mass movement, instead of getting in the cops' faces, let's get into politician faces. They're the ones that got the powers telling us stop.
Let's do it all. The cops come and take our stuff.
The cops
are the ones we see. You know, they try and maintain themselves at this unattainable position.
Some of them are really nice. Some of them, they tell them, Sean, man.
Well, no, I mean,
we really don't want to do this, you know.
Cops are the arms of the politicians. We don't want to do this, but we're going to do this anyway.
Yeah, because if they don't do it, then they're
so
okay,
what?
If you make a commitment to your parents, you got to do something.
What are they going to do? Tell me what's going to happen, officers. You're going to take a couple days suspension. They're not going to fire you. You know,
they're not
going to get fired over the situation. You know, if an officer takes a political stance, well, there might be some ramifications to that, but they're not going to get fired. You know, they can come on free radio and tell the public what's happening. Yeah. They may have to get suspended for a couple days, but you got your conscience to live with. You know, if it's worth it to you, don't enforce the fucking camping bans. Just say no.
No,
this is not what these people went to the academy for, is it?
I think that really is a telling point. Hopkins is, of course, Dan Hopkins is always hopeful that his appeal to the police will eventually touch their hearts and they will say no.
Yeah, you say, well, we need to change the enforcers. Okay, well, everybody change the enforcers in their own way. I don't know, some people want to give them a flower. Me, I want to tell them what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Remind them.
Well,
it makes me feel better.
Well, if we can go to battlefield, if that's the case, hey, listen, we dropped the bomb in Hiroshima, right? Why don't we do it right here?
I don't know. What's we?
We as the people.
What's we? Now, see, you just said before, you were talking about, well, these people aren't the same people that were in place when the camping van came out. Well, you know, well, this isn't the same government that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. This aren't the same people. We're a whole different people. Well, we're not the same people that raped the planet. Well, you know, we're the people that have to fix it. That's the bottom line here. I don't care where the problem started, but we've got to do something.
Let me slip in here and make a couple comments.
Comment.
The most irritating man in Santa Cruz.
We love you.
And the talk show host. The proposal that this thing be put on the ballot is, I regard that as a pipe dream, but if Sean wants to pursue it, I will support that, certainly, because it's...
I've heard worse pipe dreams.
No. I mean, it still takes thousands of dollars to do it, to put it on the ballot. You need to have registered voters. You need to have people getting all kinds of signatures within a limited period of time.
Yeah, if it's somebody doing something.
It's good. But that's one point. Uh-huh. Second point is Sean's approach of doing that is certainly one avenue. And I got no problem with it, except that I think you're spending energy, and I guess you could do certain other things at the same time. I'm going to encourage people to come a week from Tuesday to a sleep-in in City Hall. That is, say people come into City Hall with their bags, with their backpacks. Since there's no legal shelter after last night for anybody outside except for these 56 spaces in the satellite shelter program that are already filled up, since hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have no legal place to sleep, come to City Hall. Let's tell the politicians, well, you can't find a solution. We got a building right here. Let's use this building.
But you just mentioned expending our energy, and I think that's something that we really need to look at in this community and other communities of people trying to create change, is where we expend our energies and where we waste energy. There's a lot of times when we could do something a lot more effective. We waste them on ineffective little things.
I agree. Are you
mini
suggesting
protests.
That a sleep out is a mistake in terms of the City Hall sleeping?
It could be. I mean, if it could be a great thing if planned properly, if the right type of effort put in. But, you know, far too often an action will be organized, you know, a day in advance, and, you know, somebody will make an announcement on it on free radio at 4 in the morning, hoping somebody's listening or something, and then we wonder why people don't show up.
This
planning is a great place to put some
energy. Here's the thing. We already started this thing. We've got to put out the word, and we've got to get the responsible people who want to help.
Oh, yeah.
Just coming out there. Even if it's a couple of people, it's a couple of people. This morning we started. Scott Kennedy made a comment to Dan Hopkins as he was leaving one time that day, hey, your numbers are growing, huh?
Meaning then, they weren't.
Meaning that they weren't, because there was only like a couple of people out there. And a couple nights ago, he was over there, and I turned and told him, hey, Scott, our numbers are growing, huh? Because there was about 20 or 40 people out there. I mean, I lose count, because you turn around, and some of them are around the corner, some of them are trying to use the bathroom, which we requested for the bathroom to be open, and they left them open at previous sleepouts there. But they refused to give us the key, and I said I will be personally responsible for it. That, you know, we clean it up and everything, but
I'd like to point out that Sherry Connable in her sleep out in 1990 was given the keys to the bathroom. How about us? Come on, guys.
But, you know, we're
special
not...
Special privileges for Sherry.
And then
door Connable gets special privileges. Come on, Sherry.
Well,
come on, Mayor Rodkin.
Well, the answer they gave was that they cannot make any special requests. To any special groups.
Also, regarding what's been suggested, this business of calling in the city council and whether they're tabulating the results, I'm going to suggest that our listeners, each listener right now, or within the next half hour, put through a call to 429-3550. And the reason for this is not because they're going to pay any attention, but I want to then, we'll ask them later in the day if they received any calls supporting ending the camping ban. And when they say no, we'll say, hey, you're lying. So if anybody wants to, please, please, put in a call right now to the City Council hotline, which is 429-3550. Ask to talk to Mayor Michael Rodkin and say that you wish to register your opposition to the current practice of harassing demonstrators and arresting people for sleeping at night.
And you can and we'll call over here. Yeah.
And he'll
call
tell
here,
you that your approach
name.
Is wrong and not do a fucking thing.
Oh, I don't
thing.
Care what... of course he will. He'll give you his schmoozy bullshit.
That's
but what I want to do
this week.
But
is
what
our
I want to do is
wrong.
I want to show... Yeah, our approach is wrong. But I want to show that the city council hotline is getting... We are turning in calls that ask for an end to the camping ban, and they are refusing to register them. That's what I want to do at this point. So I encourage people to give a call just to... make that point. And it's only one call. It doesn't take a lot of time. It takes about, 35 seconds. So do it. And then, and also give me a call at 423-HUFF and tell me that you called them.
Yeah.
So I will know that you called City Hall. And then I'll be able to say, hey, I have information that there were 73 or two calls that went through to City Hall. How come you're not registering them? Again, call City Hall at 429-3550 and say, I oppose the camping ban. When are you going to change it? And then call me at 423-HUFF, which is my off air number, 423-4833, and say, I just called City Hall. I want to tell you that. So, anything you want to add, Phil?
I think they should call 427-3772 and voice their opposition.
That too.
I personally say that working within the system hasn't brought us much.
Oh, it doesn't.
I've been talking to certain police officials of late that have told me, well, you need to bring these things to my attention. Said, we bring them to your attention on Free Radio Santa Cruz, man. We bring them to the public's attention first.
Mm-hmm.
And then if those people, if they refuse to do anything about it, well, I've seen too much paperwork filed in the little round paper basket. I'd rather file for direct action.
I agree.
Voice your opposition at 427-3772, goddammit.
Definitely.
What do you want to do, blow up the city hall? Okay.
All right, so Sean, anything more you want to add before we move on to the next segment of the exciting Banford Tears broadside?
Yeah, well, actually, remember, I was with an organization called Feed the People. They could use volunteers, they could use help serving people. They're normally down at Pacific Cathcart between 5 to 6. They've been late a little bit lately, which I'm going to whoop them up. They might even like it. Come down, give them support, give them hell, give them love, give them pain, whatever you want to do, just do it at your level. They could use finances for propane. They need that real bad. They could use a 60-quart pot if you're listening out there. Somebody sold our pots. We need them. Let's see. We need heavy-duty cookingware. If you got them, great. If not, whatever. Just help us out any way you can. You can leave a message at 425-FEED, 425-FEED, F-E-E-D, that's 3333, 425-3333. So, may peace, love, unity, humble, harmony, wisdom, respect, the power of seven be with you, and thank you, Robert, for giving us another chance.
Sure,
Zach,
anytime.
Right here. Thank you for being here and your support.
Hey, I'll thank you guys. Both for fighting for the rights of the poor in Santa Cruz. You're doing more every night than I would even consider doing. I mean, it's cold out there. I don't want to sleep out, for God's sake. I mean, let's be real, guys.
Come on, baby. I like it when it's cold. You know?
Coffee works. Okay.
Coffee works, but it would bring coffee to us late night, early mornings. And if your job is like to get up 2 o'clock in the morning, go to work, bring some coffee. You know, coffee and coffee and coffee and coffee and coffee.
Coffee. The guy is coffeed out. Yeah, you can also contact the City Hall Sleep Out at 425-9679. That's the payphone. Let it ring about 20 times, and you may actually get to speak to some of these celebrities face to face, or let's say voice to voice. You want to say something?
Yeah, and if you bring donuts, we could even distract the police.
Yeah,
you could set up a trap for Sergeant Clark. That would be interesting.
Hey, bring coffee and donuts.
There's also we have a hot flash. Red Top Robert Flory and Mooncat have been released.
Yes.
Repeat, Red Top Robert Flory and Mooncat been released. So the threats that they're going to keep them in jail for 3 days was more bullshit from Clark and his cohort in crime, Sergeant Vogel.
Yeah, they almost kept them in longer because they slept in jail.
Yeah, well, you know, you actually can't do much sleeping in jail in those holding cells. Unfortunately, it's cold. It's loud. It's obnoxious. Maybe they housed them. They could, as they say, housing means putting them upstairs, but they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, actually, Mooncat, when he got arrested last night, I asked him, are you okay? He said, yeah, Sean, it was actually really fun.
Well, if you want to have fun, come on down and get arrested with the City Hall Sleepouters. They're doing it during the day. They're doing it during the night. They're doing it in the twilight. Hey, you can get crepuscular with the City Hall Sleepout folks. Thank you very much, guys, and hang out if you want. I'm going to move on to the next segment here.
I'm going to go bitch someplace else.
All right, bitch on. That's what I say. All right, guys.
Hey, Robert,
all right.
Don't do anything I would do.
Always. All right. So we have another interview coming down the pike. You were listening to, that was Sean and Zach, City Hall Sleepouters, who are, really, Sean has been there almost without any kind of a pause for the last 18 days, and that's real impressive. That's certainly more than I'm willing to commit to at this moment. My hat's off to these people. What we have now, however, is a report from San Francisco and the interminable, actually not interminable, the quite charming, witty, and puckish Keith McHenry, a Food Not Bomber who's been Food Not Bombsing for a long time. Let's hear what he has to say. Really is going to talk in just a moment now.
So, we're on the line to Cats and Jammer Keith McHenry, or so I call him, Food Not Bombs, showman, activist, and sometimes soup cooker.
Yes.
What's cooking, Keith?
Oh, wow, I just received a phone call from Air and Amanda at New York City Food Not Bombs, which I think is going to become Manhattan Food Not Bombs as more chapters evolve in the greater New York City metropolitan area, and may even become Lower East Side Food Not Bombs.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just harassed by both the Park Police and the New York City Police, NYPD, this weekend on two occasions for sharing free food at Thompson Square Park. So that's fascinating, and it looks like there's going to become a showdown there between that Food Not Bombs group and the city government.
How long have they been serving?
They've been sharing food since maybe like 3 or 4 years now.
And Tompkins Square, of course, was much in the news in 1989 when police moved against it. Has it revived as a center of alternative culture?
It's been a very incredible struggle in the Tompkins Square Park area, including the 13th Street squat, which was busted using an old tank, actually, that the police have.
When did that happen?
That happened last summer,
mm-hmm.
and they drove the tank into the side of the building and the barricades and forced people out. However, there's been a court ruling in favor of the squatters, and the squatters have moved back.
Into the 13th Street squat.
13th Street squat. So
mm-hmm.
there's been some attacks on the Avenue C squats, and this is on Avenue B, actually, which is where they've been getting hassled for sharing food on the Avenue B side of Thompson Square Park.
How frequently does New York Food Not Bombs serve?
I think there are two times a week now, and they were going to actually have a meeting this Wednesday and start to do three times a week as a result of this police harassment. So, to increase their visibility. And there's a Now Steal This Radio, which is in Lower East Side, has also started broadcasting three nights a week. It was every Friday night for quite some time. So there is definitely a lot going on there. And the struggle on the Lower East Side is against gentrification that is really rapid. So there's been some of the squatters movement and some of the activist community moving over to the Bronx and starting a squatting community there, with the belief that they will not be able to repel the police ultimately in the Lower East Side. But there's still many people in the Lower East Side that feel that they will have a an ability to resist. And this is a neighborhood, for instance, of the Jewish anarchist community and Emma Goldman and Alexander Berkman and so on. So it's been an activist community now for several hundred years. Pretty amazing. And let's see what else is going on. There's
before you move from that one, let me ask you this. What about Ybor City, Florida? That's the, I guess, Tampa suburb that recently was under assault for its free radio. Has there been any further attacks on free radio in Ybor City?
No, it's the same kind of incursions that we've had around here, where the FCC will come by and hassle you a little bit one day and snoop around and try to get some names and stuff, and then they just sort of disappear for a while.
So all is quiet in Ybor City.
Actually, Ybor City is an African-American community. It's the original Tampa. Ybor City is the downtown section, was the original downtown of Tampa back at the in the 1800s. And so it's being gentrified as well. It's a thing where they're taking these old, old Spanish-style buildings and starting to renovate them and make them into yuppie coffee shops, essentially, is what's happening there.
Speaking of gentrification, New York City... Recently, The New Yorker had an article, actually about 4 or 5 months ago, about downtown business improvement districts that were being used as sort of ways to tax businesses, who both those who want to harass the homeless and those who don't, to fund private wannabe cop forces, such as the hosts in Santa Cruz, the guides in Portland, I guess, I'm not sure what they're called in Berkeley, Sacramento, but sort of a little paramilitary, non-armed, but still snitch-like force dressed up in little uniforms that runs around and tells homeless people they can't sit here, they can't sit there, they can't ask for spare change, get out of town, that sort of
thing. Right. In some cases they are armed, in some cases they are actually aren't armed, but they have mace and handcuffs. You know.
They're pepper gassing in Santa Cruz. There was another, there was a pepper gassing, of course, 2 months ago. The Food Not Bombs worker D. Bob was pepper gassed by host John Behrens. And when I recently asked the Santa Cruz hosts if they were still carrying mace, they refused to deny it. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And not wanting to be pepper gassed, as we say. I don't mean mace, I mean pepper gas, which actually has been in the news rather frequently as a nasty item. I mean, it's
lethal, unfortunately.
It's gone off in people's purses, and people had to go into the hospital who were throughout the room. And now, of course, it's become much more easy to obtain for ordinary citizens. So maybe we should ask that every citizen in Santa Cruz or... and other areas where hosts are carrying pepper gas, carry their own pepper gas, or maybe salt gas. Pepper gas is a little bit, you know, boring. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I was threatened with pepper gas by a meter maid when I was asking him why he was going to the back of my truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was about a week ago. I'm like, what's going on? And he, like, pulls out this black thing and starts pointing it in my face.
What did you say then?
Well, I said, well, I'm going to call the police, which I did. I actually brought more cops to the scene, which probably is stupid, but it certainly caused a ruckus. No one's going to assault me.
Did you find out what they wanted in the back of your truck?
No, they're just like, well, my, why is he parking here? This also happened last, I'm expecting to be harassed at Golden Gate Park today during lunch, because I was really jacked up bad by the cops last week and by...
Every week you serve at Golden Gate Park at, what, Haight and Stanion?
Stanion, since 1988 we've been there without fail, and it's like, really...
I read a nasty letter from the Coal Improvement Association attorney in the Examiner denouncing Brown's supposed leniency toward homeless people. But in fact, of course, I heard from other sources, and that's one of the main things I wanted to ask you about today, that Mayor Brown, while he has said that people will not be arrested for the simple act of sleeping in San Francisco, as they have been under the Matrix program for the last 2.5 years, that there has been no change. In fact, there has been an intensification of the policy of arrests for sleeping in San Francisco. What's the story, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely. What has happened is religious witness with homeless people worked... on gathering statistics, and they found that in January and February of last year, there were 1,200 matrix arrests. That would be the 647I and the sleeping arrest.
647I is lodging, right?
Right. That would be if you had a backpack, a sleeping bag, a suitcase, or a blanket, something like that. You can be arrested in California under that law.
That's a misdemeanor punishable with up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine, whereas the sleeping code is probably an infraction, right?
A
lesser crime.
$75 fine.
Gotcha. Correct.
Okay. So there's this in January of '96 and February of '96. There was a combined total of those arrests was 1,700. So it was up
compared to the earlier total of
1,200. So the actual matrix arrests are up by 500 during the same 2 month period of the Brown administration.
Now, is Brown simply lying to the public, or is the police department out of control, or is he still scrambling to formulate a set of procedures? What's really happening, in your opinion?
What I think is happening is it's a combination of things. I think one thing is that the mayors do not have control of the police, but they don't necessarily even want control of the police. That's not really... it's fine for the problem to be over at the department. And I think that what we will see and are starting to see is a thing where Willie says all the right things. He's sort of the liberal front man for downtown business.
That's Mayor Willie Brown.
Willie Brown. And then what you have is that business as usual otherwise. There is a theory that the department itself is trying to embarrass, the police department is trying to embarrass Brown, fearing that he is actually a liberal Democrat,
mm-hmm.
and that is somehow similar to communism or socialism,
mm-hmm.
and that the mass arrest, for instance, on Sunday, March 3rd at the anti-police violence protest at 6th and Howard,
mm-hmm.
was another way of sending a signal to the mayor and to Fred Lau, the new chief of police, and Mr. Sanders, the new assistant chief of police.
That the same old gang was in control.
Right, that downtown business ultimately is in control, and that it's all window dressing. One thing I would say is Willie Brown, for instance, was supposed to have direct hand, at least publicly stated that he had a direct hand in the decision-making of who was brought to the top in the police department, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lau and Saunders are definitely famous for being progressive and people that are liked by the activist community more so than your average cops. And so they're the chief and the assistant chief. However, Dick Holder was brought in as deputy chief into Frank Reed's former position. And Frank Reed is famous for being involved in much of the spy scandals in San Francisco. He's been directing special operations for years and years and years. And he's been the behind-the-scene guy who organized, say, for instance, the Dolores Huerta beating, which is not just an aberration of the one officer, Akim, but in reality was a pre-planned attack against these activists where they're pinned up against a wall at the St. Francis Hotel and beaten brutally, and unfortunately one person, Dolores Huerta's spleen was knocked from her body by a nightstick. So there's that same crowd essentially is running things. You had Martel, and you had Dennis Martel, who's famous for saying that the problem with San Francisco Food Not Bombs is not that it's serving free food, it's that it's making an anarchist statement, and that is just simply not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his. He held a press conference to make that statement. Actually, he organized a.
Now, Food Not Bombs is continuing its at least nightly meals, but it has no noon meal downtown.
That we do not have a noon meal in a situation that would attract attention from the authorities, so we can't really test that. I could tell you, however, that on Wednesday last week, we organized Wednesday the 6th of March, we were going to have a protest against the mass arrest, and this was before the police commission meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one in the group had a valid California driver's license, so I ended up going down to get the permit for this.
Permit for?
For a sound permit. uh-huh. because people didn't want to lose their sound system, and we figured that the police were pretty flipped out about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we better go down and get a sound permit. Well, I went down there to get the sound permit, and it took about 5 hours to actually get the sound permit.
Mm-hmm.
It was this big, huge hassle. I ended up meeting with Fred Lau, just to...
Chief of police
to try to get this thing. I wrote, for instance, the state purpose of the activity and give a detailed description of the nature of the activity. And I said, finish March 3rd's protest. That's what I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So the police department person said, well, what protest about what? And so she wrote, against the epidemic of police violence,
mm-hmm.
which was the title of the March 3rd protest.
Right.
So then, it's a 10-watt sound system. On the other side of the permit, you know, it's a little tiny speaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not a big deal. It is outside the police headquarters, but that also shouldn't be of too much problem. So it says, the four department use only validation section. It's got the date and everything. It said days, and it said Wednesday, and the date's 3/6/96. And then after that, it says no food shall be distributed.
Nah.
In all caps. It's the only thing on all caps.
Mm-hmm. And did you obey that?
We actually did share free food and were not arrested, which was kind of a interesting thing. But on a sound permit, they're that uptight. Martel was the one who ordered that sentence written, according to the Gallagher, who's the person who gave me the permit, and who gave me quite a hard time. When I went down to get this permit, also the very first interaction I had, the officer said, "Oh, it's this is case number 960182. They already had a case number for the protest, which would only been planned for about, you know, maybe earlier the day before. So we don't really know what's going to go on with the food bus. My suspicion is that we are going to be looking at some food arrest. I was also, Fred Lau, he was trying to be a very good host. He gave me, like, a cup of coffee, and he sit in his... He actually...
Did he serve you free food?
He gave me free food.
Uh-oh.
In the police headquarters. And he was careful not to say too much, but he did say that he wanted to have a meeting with activists to, quote, what did I have here? I wrote down and said, to set ground rules for protests,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, there's a long history of so-called setting ground rules for protests in San Francisco, and the police usually never follow their own ground rules.
That's a subject I'd like to talk to you about in some detail, but it's going to have to be the subject of a future phone call.
Okay.
Let me very quickly touch upon the question of the Fresno meeting that's coming up, where Food Not Bombs, the Sacramento and Arcata problems with food, with police taking food at Food Not Bombs, or threatening to do so.
Yeah, well, there's so far it doesn't seem like anything has come with the guides in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard any.
No further harassment.
Yeah, that's kind of died down somehow, but that could be. We're just not getting phone calls about that.
And in Arcata?
In Arcata, there was the one arrest of Rahula in January, but there hasn't been a new court date. For this problem that is occurring, where it turns out all the judges had shared free food without.
Now, were they taken into custody, the judges? Now, are they being tried by a higher judge?
No one has arrested them,
Even
indicted them, or even.
Maybe you should arrange deputize a group of Food Not Bombers to head north with warrants.
Right, we should definitely. The Justice Department should get right on that,
mm-hmm.
and indict them for sharing food without a permit. So. That is up in the air as to what's going on in Arcata. It's an interesting thing that nothing further has
done. What about Fresno?
In Fresno, there is going to be regional gathering that's happening. It's for all the California chapters of Food Not Bombs to get together, and it's the last weekend of this month,
mm-hmm.
31st, and it's we'll be discussing what is up with these different issues in Arcata and in Sacramento, and what kinds of things we might want to do there.
You'll be going there?
I hope so, but I'm not totally convinced of that.
Let me tell you what's happening here. We had quite a successful demonstration on Saturday for the right to sleep in Santa Cruz, which we've been trying to establish again The Winter Armory Shelter, which houses 80 to 150 people, closes tonight. It's gone after last night. They kept it open one more night so as to vitiate our protest. That is to say, had they not kept it open, we would have probably had twice as many people at our protest because there would be no legal place for people in the armory to sleep last night. Actually, it was the night before last. But we have had increasing numbers of people joining the protest, increasing police harassment, seizure of property. Robert Flory and a man named Mooncat were dragged off to jail last night for the crime of sleeping, making about, a total of 25 tickets that have been given at the protest alone for violating the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban and or some other related ban. We've all had some colorful incidents, like police have seized and confiscated signs without giving receipts and then thrown away the political signs in a dumpster. When they were reclaimed, the person reclaiming them was given a ticket for theft of recyclables.
Whoa.
So we have a kind of a there's a comic side to it all in a kind of a bizarre way.
That is really weird.
We're calling for people to come to Santa Cruz on Tuesday, March 26th, which is the date of the last city council meeting of the month. That will be at, well, the council meeting itself is at 7 o'clock, but we're encouraging people to come early, to come to, let's say, 4 or 5 o'clock and then chalk downtown, march around, similar to the kinds of meetings we had when City Council was considering the anti-homeless downtown ordinance. Said the word, organized carpools.
Would we be meeting?
You would be meeting, I suppose, probably 4 or 5 o'clock on March 26th, and I'll be faxing you a flyer. Did you get the flyer for the last event?
Yeah, that's a very interesting story about that fax.
Mm-hmm. This is the Sleep is Not a Crime demonstration we had on Saturday. I faxed you a flyer last week.
Correct. Well, it's interesting. You faxed to an old number that it was to a print shop called Coffee Time, mm-hmm, that had been firebombed with Molotov cocktails 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Burned. The entire site inside was completely melted.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of your fax, I received a call from my friend Farouk, who is formerly a political prisoner in Pakistan protesting against Zia.
Mm-hmm.
And he is he's the owner of Copy Time, and I lost contact with him because he was firebombed when I was in Alameda County Jail,
mm-hmm,
on my three strikes trip. And I've now been reunited with Farouk.
Part of my master plan, you see. You didn't realize that, did you?
No, I did not.
Well, what is your new fax number? Let me ask you that.
Well, allegedly, that sounds like a good fax number. That's probably better than the one that I did give you, which has been a problem, and I think there's...
what is that? Do you know that old fax number, or no?
I don't know the fax number.
Okay, I can probably get it when my...
That was Keith McHenry. We're going to cut the fax number discussions.
Right now we're on the phone with one of the men I mentioned earlier, D-Bob, a pepper-gassed individual from Food Not Bombs. But right now you haven't been pepper-gassed. In fact, you have some new information for us, don't you, D-Bob?
Hello. I would like to inform the community of my resignation from Food Not Bombs.
Uh-huh.
And while I hold no animosity against regular Food Not Bombs group, I do hold a little animosity against this community for lack of support for Food Not Bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like going to be no longer up to me to keep the organization together. This group, Food Not Bombs, needs a little more support. And about what I have to say.
All right. Well, thank you, D-Bob, and I hope somebody steps into your shoes, and I want to thank you for all the good work you have done with Food Not Bombs.
Later.
All right.
Indeed, if you want to help Food Not Bombs, you can, of course, reach them at 425-3345, and they have meetings, I believe, every Monday evening at 6:30 or 7, maybe. 7, I think it is, at the Cafe Pergolesi. Right in front of the Cafe Pergolesi, or they were having those meetings. And indeed, they're announcing the times of those meetings and they're recording on 425-3345. They serve food at Cathcarton Pacific on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, is it? Or is it 5 o'clock? Anyway, it's, shows you what I know these days. They do serve at 1 o'clock at River and Josephine. Though whether they'll be serving without D-Bob in the group, I don't know. I think they're really scraping to keep on going by, and Feed the People is also scraping to keep serving people every night at Friendship Corner, which some call Hippie Corner, at Cathcart and Pacific. We have really the greatest proliferation of groups, but I mean really the most servings of food downtown of almost any city of our size that I know of. But again, it's always on the edge, and we need help for both these groups. Sean gave the number for Feed the People earlier, and Food Not Bombs is 425-3345. They need cooks, they need people to cut vegetables, they need people to serve food, they need people to pick up food from stores and groceries that are donating it. So give them a call if you want to help out with that. Food Not Bombs and Feed the People are both supporting the Sleep Out at City Hall vigil, which is continuing to go on now in its 18th day. Needs your support as well. So a lot of things need your support. I'm probably hundreds of other things I'm not even mentioning. Definitely hundreds of other things. I have here I guess you call it a press release update that I am going to read. It actually concerns a man who I wish I had in the studio with me talking. David Dumars, also known as BD. He's an old activist, not that old actually, who was instrumental in fighting to end the camping ban 2 years ago and paid dearly for his activism around that. At that time, Robert Flory, who was arrested last night for misdemeanor sleeping and was released recently, by the way, within the last hour, he's out, he's at large, the sleep criminal is busted out. He was doing a protest vigil downtown, right on the main street with Wanton Dave Jacobs. And BD, or David Dumars, as he's also called, was supporting that vigil, and when the police came and began arresting people arbitrarily, under concocted laws, like improper conduct on public property, a notoriously vague law, which charges were later thrown out under, but did serve to destroy the vigil, though that's our police force enforcing the, quote, law. You see, it's, as musician Phil Free has pointed out, it's not just the politicians, it's the police. The police are making policy, actually, as well as supposedly implementing it. Anyway, David Dumars is again going up for trial for this two-year-old set of essentially First Amendment activities. I'm going to read you his statement. I think it's by him. It's certainly about him. See what you think. I think he deserves your support. In February of 1994, David Dumars was beaten, sprayed with pepper gas in both eyes from a distance of 6 inches by Santa Cruz cops and arrested. While in custody, Dave could not open his eyes, could not see, and was denied all medical care. The next day, he was again attacked, sprayed with pepper gas, and arrested, this time while sitting quietly in line to purchase coffee inside the Santa Cruz Coffee Roasting Company. Dave was subsequently held on $28,000 bail. The judge had turned down a prosecution request for a $1 million bail, judging $28,000 sufficient. The Santa Cruz district attorney charged Dave with 6 misdemeanors: battery, trespass, disturbing the peace, criminal vandalism, that is, graffiti on a newsstand, and 2 counts of resisting arrest. So why was David gassed with pepper spray and arrested? This incident occurred at the Peace Vigil on the Pacific Garden Mall, a protest organized and supported by homeless activists and others. In an attempt to remove this protest, and more generally to criminalize homelessness and poverty, the city was citing people for sitting on the sidewalk. I'd like to point out this was before the sitting on the sidewalk law had passed city council. This was the police way of passing laws. They just do what they want. Continuing with this account. Well-dressed shoppers were not bothered. The homeless, of course, were and are. In this situation, Dave spoke out against the attacks on the homeless in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz, whose owner, Neil Coonerty, was a principal author of the anti-sitting ordinances. And Coonerty, I might add, had been mayor the year before. And it was quite literally for speaking out that Dave was attacked, arrested, and now dragged through the court system for over 2 years. He was, in fact, attacked by Stuart Martin, the manager of the ID building, who began shoving him, and as BD attempted to continue speaking, Martin then went and had the police arrest BD for assault, even though, of course, it was Martin who was doing the assaulting. And that charge was eventually, it was either dropped, or was found not guilty, or was appealed in court. I guess we'll find out what that was. But continuing, all the charges except the graffiti charge had been defeated through a trial and appeal this February, almost exactly 2 years later, to intimidate Dave into accepting a 30-day jail sentence for the crime of being beaten and gassed by the Santa Cruz cops Judge Barton of Santa Cruz Municipal Court reinstated the charges of resisting arrest and disturbing the peace. Barton set April 1st as the trial date, at which Dave is looking at possibly a year-and-a-half sentence for the three misdemeanors. David is a member of the group Refuse and Resist. To understand why they have not dropped this case, look today at the war on the people. The authorities from the highest levels are stepping up across the board. Attacks on affirmative action, immigrants, the environment, women, welfare, the homeless, black youth, and youth in general. The list of abuse goes on and on. Pat Buchanan, in carving out new roads to the extreme right for all the political hacks, Republican and Democratic alike, it's in this context that these charges remain. While the attacks escalate, so too does the resistance. Think of the explosion of resistance that erupted against the Gulf War in 1991, the protest and rebellion resulting from the videotaped police beating of Rodney King, the walkouts and protest against Proposition 187, the protest defending abortion rights, and here in Santa Cruz, the protest against the anti-homeless ordinances. This, too, threatens to escalate sharply. The collusion of the police, prosecutor, and judges is in place to control the resistance, to try to force people to quietly accept cruelty and suffering. Those who resist can expect to be viciously attacked, but it is right to rebel. We must defend the protest, resistance, and rebellion, or what do we have? Poverty, the protest of poverty, is criminal. Is this acceptable? In this situation, Dave is calling on the people to come to the trial at 8:30 a.m. on April 1st at the Santa Cruz Municipal Court. Demand that all the charges be dropped. In 1996, it is time to resist. That's 8:30 on April 1st. And I guess they think we're all a bunch of April fools, but hopefully we're not. That's David Dumars, D-U-M-A-R-S. And I believe the number to call is 454-2400 if you want to ask the DA's office to drop these ridiculous, repetitive charges that have already gone through the courts once. That's David Dumars, and he deserves your support. And if you also want to support him, he doesn't leave a number. You can leave a message at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will pass on any support you may have for him, whether it's financial or moral or you want to offer some kind of services. Give a call to 423-4833 to support David Dumars. And, he certainly deserves it. He's been fighting for basic rights for homeless people and a variety of other groups. I don't see eye to eye with David on all issues. Some would regard him as more radical than I. He talks about revolution, supports the Shining Path on occasion, or has spoken of the Shining Path in a supportive way down in Peru. That's neither here nor there. Down here in Santa Cruz, he has been nonviolent. He has been a supporter of homeless rights, and he deserves our support. So again, you want to support David Dumar, show up at April 1st, Judge Barton's court, 8:30 in the morning, and or give a call before then to give him some support at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Well, as usual, I have a panoply of tapes, some of which you've already heard. You've heard Keith McHenry, you've heard Karen Gillette, you've heard our guests, Sean and Zach. Now you're going to hear some tape from the morning after the sleepout. That's Sunday morning, yesterday morning, after the march downtown, the right to sleep. Sleep is not a crime march. We rallied at Friendship Corner down at Cathcart and Pacific, and we walked down the mall and slept in, or hadn't sleep in. We lay around and spoke in and attempted to expose the abuses of the hosts, which we've talked about on this program before. Then we went to City Hall, and our numbers dwindled, and I was sort of discouraged. Scott Kennedy showed up, and that discouraged me a little more. He always discourages me when he shows up. But that night, the numbers grew. The numbers grew to, I believe, about 20, 25 people. And there were at least 15 people sleeping out overnight. They gave out 5 tickets on Saturday night. And this is what happened on Sunday morning. I showed up with my trusty tape recorder, not having slept out, and did some interviews. Here we go.
Well, it's March 17th, 1996. It's 20 to 8. We're here at City Hall, actually, on the bricks near the sidewalk near Center Street? Yes, Center Street. So, hanging out, as usual, is coffee-drinking Mooncat, D-Bob, Al, Red Top Robert, closed-door accountable. We have Sean. We have a whole bunch of people I never heard of before, just waking up. How'd you sleep? Do you have a first name for these criminals?
No comment.
No, we have Mr. No Comment. Your first name?
Katie.
And you're Zoltan.
Zoltan.
And are you guys just new in town, or?
No, I've lived here all my life.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And you mean you actually have a house and you come out here and sleep?
I live in a treehouse.
Wow. Treehouse.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, is that up to code?
No.
Oh, so you are a criminal every night?
Yeah, of course. It's impossible to do everything legal, you know? The system's not set up to follow, you know? It's just, it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah, that's what I hear, actually. And are you guys also locals, or?
Well, I came out here in August with my band, which is named How's Your Day?
Uh-huh.
And right now I'm living in my van and heard about this and figured, hey, it's a place to sleep, it's a good cause. I'll come here for the night.
Really?
Yep.
And this was because of the demonstration yesterday you heard about this?
Yes.
And it's very nice to sleep outside. I love sleeping outside. And I would be really mad if somebody told me I couldn't sleep outside, because it's ridiculous.
Well, it's the standing edict of Mayor Ratkin, and you are?
I'm Damon.
And Damon, are you also with the band, or?
No, I'm with a different band.
What band is that?
Well, we have a renaissance group called the Madrigals, and I'm also starting my own, which you'll be hearing from shortly. I guess I'd be considered a local also. No fixed address. I've been living in the Santa Cruz area for about 2 years now. And happened to coincide last night with my hearing about this with the fact that I had no place to stay. So
here you are.
That's perfect.
But you got no ticket.
Hmm?
Yeah,
correct. I guess it was good timing or something.
What time did you come in last night?
I don't know, probably about 3 in the morning or so.
I think it was after the police did their thing.
Might have been earlier than that. The police were here. I was standing at the time and hadn't yet set up for the evening.
Now, did the police ticket everyone who was here, or only a few?
There were only a few. There were people who were lying down under blankets who didn't get tickets. They seemed to single out certain people.
Interesting. I mean, they gave tickets only to certain confirmed sleep criminals that they knew?
Sleep criminals, yeah. Who apparently they had other encounters with.
And how many cops did you see doing this?
Maybe 7, would you say?
Between 5 and 7.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Fairly large force, eh? Oh, you know, we're looking for benefit possibilities. Have you ever considered a benefit concert for these silly folks?
Definitely. That would be a fun thing to take part in.
Do you have a flyer that kind of gives you a number to call in case you want to arrange something like that?
I don't have it on me, but I can give you a number to call.
I mean, I could give you, what I'd like to do is give you a flyer for our number, and if you decide, you and your band decide it's worth doing.
Absolutely.
Give us a call,
yeah.
Either of you.
Sure.
Are you both locally based in your bands, or?
Yes.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'll take your numbers down, too, if you want to give them to me.
Yeah.
All right. I'm here at the City Hall, sleep out, and this indeed was a sleep out. What time are you, sir? You're just waking up. It looks like the famous sometimes in the armory, may have a house, but doesn't know if the armory is going to stay open, Tim Rinker.
Yes.
And you've been using the armory regularly, and now you seem to be using the bricks in front of City Hall.
Yes, I'm a virgin sleeper. I got my first
straw in his beard.
This is shocking. I, of course, am eminently groomed here. you look fine, Tim. You look okay. But we can interview you perhaps when you return?
Perhaps, yes.
So, Al, were you a man holding a video camera? Did you just buy that video camera?
No, excuse me.
A real bad one, man. Let's just say it would have taken us back to the 50s, all right? Let's not go back that far. No, I did not buy it.
Have you been sitting up all night waiting for some...
I actually stood up all night holding it because you don't put it down, because what they do is they will come and freeze you and then you cannot do anything.
You have to police department.
Yes, you have to have everything on you at all times.
Now, since you were an observer here last night, what actually happened? I hear from Robert.
Many Z's.
Many Z's.
A few zappings and.
You're not ahead. Hey,
time out.
I'm
whatever happens when people have dreams.
I'm sorry.
Well, now, wasn't there something of a nightmare when 5 to 7 police officers appeared?
Oh, that was all a dream.
Oh.
Well, Zoltan assures me that there was, in fact, the arrival. Was it Damien? So there was a arrival of the cops here last night. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I guess they did come, yeah.
And how many people were actually in the total group here when they arrived, in your opinion?
In the total?
Uh-oh.
Oh, 20.
And how many were, in your opinion, violating the camping ban?
I trust you with it. What did you trust? And two of them.
Oh. Between 10 and 15.
And how many actually received citations?
Five.
And were those five who received citations, in fact, individuals who had previously been doing the vigil and might be termed by some innocents the ringleaders?
Exactly.
So in other words, the police selectively enforced a law against sleeping? Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that.
No,
you
I
said
would
that.
Hope not. Well, what would you say?
You can come to your own conclusions about that, all right? You've got enough data, so hey, you know,
I see.
Put the mind to work.
So put on your thinking caps out there, and we'll see what's happening.
Sleeping hat.
And that was yesterday morning at the Sleep Out at City Hall, where there were five tickets given. This morning, there were two tickets and two arrests. Both arrested men have been released, but the harassment goes on with no indication of any action from Mayor Rotkin on doing what Mayor Brown has done in San Francisco, making it legal for people at least to sleep outside, since there is no legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz. And tonight, the Armory will be closed. Call Mayor Rotkin at 429-3550. Give me a call at 423-HUFF and let me know that you called Rotkin so we can log the calls that are coming in. Give a call to my number, 423-HUFF, if you want to be on this show on Friday when we return. We're about to leave the air. And if you want to be on the air and you don't have a dime or a quarter or two dimes, drop by Taco Bell at Pacific and Laurel Streets at 9:45 on Friday morning, or show up at the Sleep Out. I frequently show up at the Sleep Out and tell the Sleep Out people you want to be on Free Radio Santa Cruz on issues of civil rights on the streets. I want to thank my next talk show host for being so patient. We're 2 minutes into his time, so we are out of here. And, hey, go to it.
How you doing, Santa Cruz? This is Sly.
Craftmakers, that you'll find a lot of love, a lot of understanding. I think that it might be able to start bridging the gap of communication between Babylon and us. Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll close world communication and move on to the
There was a reference to the city attorney's memorandum regarding the use of blankets, the shooting of blankets for evidence, and it is correct, and I have a copy here if anyone would like one, that it's stated here that from an evidentiary standpoint, it's not absolutely necessary to confiscate blankets for use of trial. I would hope that we could find a way to end confiscation of blankets. I just think it's a humanitarian question, and if it's not necessary, I just hope that we can just continue. I also have a memorandum regarding the confiscation of signs, and if anybody would like a copy of these, they'd like to.
These two FYIs, for your informations, reports from City Council staff to the City Council members requested by Celia Scott and Catherine Byers at the previous City Council meeting were essentially justifications of the police department's policies in seizing and destroying signs and in seizing and confiscating and locking up blankets. That night, the night after the City Council ended, Tuesday night, April 23rd, I believe 4 to 6 more blankets were taken under the direction of Sergeant Sanderson, I believe it was. And tonight, on the morning of April 26th, another blanket was taken from Jimmy Riley as a ticket was given by Sergeant Clark.
Interestingly enough, when we approached the city manager, and that was the person we were told we had to talk to since Celia Scott and Catherine Byers were unwilling to bring up the issue at that council meeting, or claimed they felt they couldn't bring it up because it wasn't on the agenda. In the case, they did not discuss the blanket seizures at this council meeting. Instead, we were told by Jane Yokoyama, I was told, another council member, that there will be a special Monday council meeting at the Beach Flats. That's Monday, April 29th, at which she would ask for a vote on the issue because she did not want to talk to the city manager because she, quote, did not feel comfortable talking to the city manager. I guess the comfort of people who are outside freezing and having blankets taken away from them was not a primary consideration because blankets continue to be taken because of the failure of Yokoyama and others to press the city manager on this issue. When we went to the city manager the next morning, and he was in conference with Police Chief Belcher right out front in front of the city council offices, we asked him if he would return the blankets. He said something to the effect of, well, you said that 60 blankets were in the police lockup. In fact, there are only two. We looked at each other in disbelief, and Pat Ring, a demonstrator who you heard speaking at city council earlier, went back to his possessions, pulled out a series of papers, and presented them to the city manager, and those papers were official police reports showing that 8 blankets of his alone had been confiscated, hardly the 2, which apparently was information which we assume Wilson had gotten from Police Chief Belcher, whom he'd just been talking to. Wilson had nothing to say but simply retreated into his office. And as you heard, this conversation happened on Wednesday, April 24th. On the morning of the 26th, this morning, more blankets were stolen by police. So the city manager doesn't seem to give a damn. The police don't give a damn. The city council members are ineffectual in controlling the situation, and it's up to the citizenry to have an effect. My suggestion to Dan Hopkins and other demonstrators and other members of the community is they take a blanket and go in and demand an interview with the city manager to understand just what his motivation is in allowing police to seize blankets from protesters outside City Hall in the dead of night. And I would encourage you to do that. If you can't come in, give a call to the city manager at 429-3540. The city manager's name is Dick Wilson. 429-3540. Also, come down to the City Hall sleepout and offer your support because I think that a small demonstration in the city manager's office could go a long way. 3 years ago, Scott Kennedy initially proposed a plan whereby vehicles could park in city parking lots so that women and children with children and families in their vans would have a legal place to sleep at night. Kennedy allowed this proposal to be buried in the city manager's office for 9 months. We wrested it from the city manager's office by bringing about 8 to 10 people in a rather noisy demonstration in the city council offices, which scandalized the secretaries but got that measure out. By the time the measure got out, of course, they had turned it into a costly, unworkable item, which the city council wasn't interested in, and frankly, I'm not sure we were either. They were claiming they needed security guards and all kinds of things, simply to allow people to park in their vehicles overnight and use the bathrooms and the parking lot structures. That happened in August of 1992 or so, when the Union of the Homeless formed in Santa Cruz, set up a tent city at River and Josephine Streets across from Stapleton's, and another more radical gang called the Bag Ladies Revolt and the Baggy Boys Auxiliary occupied the Heiner House, earthquake-damaged building, which was then salvaged thanks to the work of Linda LeMaster, Linda Edwards, Jane Immler, myself, John Hamilton, and others, and is now being used for low-income housing. Linda LeMaster, who is now homeless and is a mother of 3 and a member of the Women's Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, went to court for trespass charges, which were eventually dropped, charges that she faced at the same time as she ran for city council in 1992. Protest has an impact, just as the City Hall sleepout is beginning to have an impact on the consciences of the police officers who are forced every night by their superiors to give tickets to individuals and to steal their blankets. It's having an impact on the city council members, I believe, in some cases making them more defensive and more rigid, but the more brittle they are, the more pieces they break into when they fall.